Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey guys, we are talking about Doom Patrol Season 1, Episode 6, Doom Patrol Patrol. We're talking about the classic Doom Patrollers, Rita's transition into a true superhero, and of course, we're going to be giving you guys our thoughts, our special segment, who we think we are as characters, who are you, our news and gossip, and our predictions, so stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the AfterBuzz TV Doom Patrol After Show. We are talking about Doom Patrol Season 1, Episode 6, Doom Patrol Patrol.
There we go. That was the sound effect we were going for. Thank you very much.
I'm your host, Elena Jordan, and I want that to play every time I say my name. I'm equally hyped because I'm hanging out today with Ollie Drennan.
What's up, everyone? Ollie Drennan here. I'm looking at the chat. God damn it. So chat away. Chat your ass off. I'm not trying to ignore you this week because I don't want you guys to come for me. But I also want to pay attention to Elena so she's not alone here. And be like, oh, yes, Elena, I'm still here with you. But anyways, yeah, I'm super excited for this episode because I really loved it.
What were your kind of overall thoughts this week on this episode?
It was obviously it's funny a lot of the times throughout this episode, but it was kind of depressing too, very emotional, which I didn't think going into the show was going to be as good, tug at my heartstrings as much as it as much as it's doing. But you know, we'll talk about it more in depth. But by the end of the episode, I was feeling a little depressed about like our elderly friends and just kind of. But I also love the fact that our quote unquote heroes are still they still want to help. Help save the day, regardless.
Yeah, I love that. I love this overall, this kind of like dark, almost horror-esque tone this week. I loved this episode. I thought it was great. And we'll be talking about, again, all of these heroes transition into becoming heroes, as well as the vintage Doom Patrol heroes themselves. And be sure to stick around for the whole episode, because at the end, we'll be talking about which of these characters we identify with in a special segment that we call Who Are You? And of course, we want to know who you guys identify with, too, so let us know in the comments and in the chat here. We'll also be giving you guys some news and gossip and a little bit of our predictions, too. So what do you say we dive right in?
Let's go. Let's go for it
now. So this talking about how kind of depressing this episode was to some degree, even with all of the humorous aspects sprinkled in. It opens with poor Rita just sitting sad over Elliot that is not looking like he's coming back.
No.
And I love these episodes where we really focus in on one character and we get so much of their backstory. Rita has been the most vocal about being hesitant about wanting to become a quote-unquote superhero. We've heard this verbal altercation that she had with Vic. What did you think about seeing this flashback to like 1956 with this skeezy Mr. Bloom, Sidney Bloom character that she ends up suffocating to death?
I mean, I'm kind of happy that she did end up killing the dude. He's kind of a skeez bucket, you know, sleazy old man back in, what was it, the 50s?
Yeah, 1956.
You know, he wanted her to get a role by taking on, you know, another task before being casted, I guess.
I mean, technically, she did take on a role, a few roles.
Oh. So. You're too good to me. Oh my gosh, she did. But I think, but I also love, you know, despite killing that character, Bloom, the receptionist coming in and, oh, he had a heart attack. So this dude, she obviously did not care. But I'm glad that she had her back, you know, despite everything that happened.
Yeah,
I think she still felt guilty despite killing this asshole, you know?
I agree.
D-bag.
I mean, I don't think any of us felt... She clearly feels guilty for it, but I don't think any of us really blame her for that. But we do see that there is a lot more to her backstory here, and that she has a very troubled past. Through Rita, we end up... I mean, last week, we ended with Jane saying, you know, who the F are the Doom Patrol when Mr. Nobody says to seek them out?
Yeah.
But... We find out that the Doom Patrol is Celsius and Loderstone and Mento, who I loved last week when they had the next week on, and it's just her going, Mento, Mento, and you're like, what? What? So this week we finally figure out she's talking about the classic Doom Patroller, which, you know, only 2 years later... It was 1958 when they had this whole interaction. So Rita has actually had a romantic kind of tryst with Mento. So Jane, a.k.a. Flit, is like, you and Larry, you're coming with me. We're finding out what's going on. We're finding the Doom Patrol. Right. We're going to this school. Which we'll talk a little bit later in the news and gossip, too, because I feel like a lot of people probably felt like this school had some similar parallels to other comic books.
Yes. I'm having my own comparisons as well. Like, I'm just thinking of all the things that really, like, correlate to one another.
Yeah, so it was really interesting to see this whole storyline and... Just phenomenal, too, when Mento is showing off to Rita all of his, like, trophies, and it's... Just like little Easter eggs from all the comics. So that was really fun. Like I love the show. It's just so perfectly written. It's just so well done. But what did you think about Rita's evolution this episode? Seeing her whole, I mean, Mento's thing is that his helmet basically alters reality.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the actual helmet. It was something ridiculous.
Like, the show is just ridiculous.
Size, I don't know.
The Jitterman Jensen thing. The Jiggy Mahig. The Jiggy Mahig.
It was so nuts. But, you know. Crazy Down Banana Pants helmet. So, it altered reality, and we find out that Mr. Nobody is a much more powerful being than we had initially anticipated, because none of this scenario is actually true. This was all a fabrication that Niles... worked with Josh Clay and said we should come up with this so that they can basically retire in peace. But Rita knew him in his prime too, so that's how she's seeing him the majority of this episode. What did you think of their whole interaction and seeing this flashback with Rita trying to come to terms with the psychological aspects of her new powers?
Well, I think she's just always kind of looking for someone to kind of pull herself together. When honestly, I think Rita needs to learn that to do that herself. She doesn't really need a particular person. I mean, obviously, you want a support system, but I think it's also you have to draw from the power within yourself in order to do that. And I think she has been doing that. Like, maybe not in the past, but we've seen her do it when she was trying to defend Elliot. So I think she kind of needed to learn in this episode to kind of overcome your past and not to rely on it. You have to keep on moving forward in order to progress. And I think she's doing a phenomenal job, personally.
I love that. What did you think about when they have their fears being shown to them, and Rita's fear is Mary Beth committing suicide and this baby? And that, because you've predicted before that you thought that there was some sort of element where she had a child and there was some sort, and maybe that's why she felt this kind of maternal instinct for Elliot. So... I mean, do you feel like this just kind of reaffirms your theory?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm like, I was like, this is a Rita episode. We're going to find out what's up with that baby. But I also just think that it just goes to show that one of her biggest fears seems to be guilt. So that feeds my theory. And it also kind of goes along with what I just said you know, you can be guilty, but don't let that be like a crutch that you're constantly falling over, becoming a blob over, you know?
Yeah.
You have to overcome that guilt and make amends and just to kind of follow suit of that redemption arc that she's trying to go for, you know.
And I think you make a really good point that she has to literally pull herself together. She can't rely on somebody else to do it. So it was interesting to see this episode that Niles, you know, recommended that she go and tried to help her out, was like, look, Mento is the best psychic. He can kind of get in your head mm-hmm. and help you out. Mento, though, really crossing the line, like reading her thoughts without...
That's such a horrible... I don't want to say it's a horrible power or ability, but it's... You have the potential to kind of cross the line, you know, and... what am I trying to say? Ruin privacy, you know. Disrupt someone's privacy and that trust that you have with someone. Like, I would never want someone to read my mind, you know. Not that I'm, like, going to kill anyone, but it's...
That's a meant no.
A meant no. someone in the chat I just saw says... Ivan says... Ivan thinks that Mary Beth was also being sexually assaulted, so maybe, but she never said no, and it drove her to suicide, so maybe that's kind of like another...
Maybe. I'm hoping that it circles back, and then we get some more closure on the Mary Beth storyline, and also on the baby, because they do such a good job of teasing things. I think they have a very good idea of the overall arc, with just, like, little teases. I mean, like, the Ultimax, like... leader of the Brotherhood of Evil having his like little enclosure and everything there. I mean, we get teases of what may potentially be episodes in the future.
Yeah. Speaking of episodes in the future, Zias B. Lou says they are filming episode 14 and 15 right now. So there's going to be 15 episodes total, not 13. So that's some news. That's some early news and gossip for you. That's interesting. Because I literally, we were like looking for news and gossip earlier, and I looked on April's page on Instagram, and she said, oh, like the other day, like maybe like a couple days ago, that they were filming, and I was surprised. I was like, what? They're filming still? Well, there you go.
Wow.
Answers our questions.
I mean, this is really just an amazing show, though. I feel like they've knocked it out of the park. Especially, I mean, if Rita's storyline... which I know is kind of the main through storyline for this episode. But still, if this is any indication of what else is to come for the rest of this season, and we are only 6 episodes in,
I'm pretty blown away. Like less than halfway through.
Yeah, we're like a third. Wow. So good.
Jesus.
I love it.
It can only get better than here.
I agree. And I love that AfterBuzz also has so many amazing shows as well.
Absolutely. Right?
And they have them organized so great for everybody to find, yes, right?
We have multiple channels. We have reality competitions. We have dramas. You're on the Sci-Fi channel right now. And we'd really love it if you would give us that 5-star review on iTunes. Like this video. Comment. Keep on, you know, if you're tuning in live in the live chat, keep chatting. We love to hear your theories and your questions and your comments. It means a lot to us. Because, like, without you, we are not going to be the ESPN of TV Talk, and it means a lot to us. And we just wanted to show some love back as you show us love. So, thank y'all. We love you.
We love you guys. Yeah. So, yeah, I absolutely loved this whole storyline. I hope Elliot does come back at some point. I feel bad for Rita. I think he's pretty much gone.
He's a little dust. He's kind of dust now.
Yeah. I did like the transition, too, of the cigar of the ashtray and then just, like, sitting where Elliot turned to ash.
Right.
It was like, oh, every shot of this show is brilliant.
You know, the Marvel fan in me is triggered, too, just kind of thinking about people fading away thanks to, like, you know, the snap, the infamous snap.
Oh, snap. That's a Thanos conversation. Okay.
We'll keep it DC here.
Yes,
we'll
conversation is the only thing. But yeah, seeing her take down all of the pictures and her that whole beautiful speech of not knowing who she is, but basically knowing who she's not. Yeah. And, you know, she's no longer Rita Farr. She doesn't want to be empty and hollow. She wants to matter. And seeing her now on her quest to really becoming a Elasta woman.
Yeah.
Which I'm very excited about because she has been around since the 50s and Niles has been trying to help her out. So it's nice to see her kind of break out of her stagnant shell of being kind of stubborn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's also, we have to remind ourselves, like this episode reminded me of her name, Rita, literally that's who she is. Like she doesn't want to be that anymore because there's just so much weight in her past and she has to move forward. And I think someone in the chat mentioned earlier about her taking, I don't know who it was. I think it was earlier. When she took her pictures down, They were like, oh, is she going to start dressing modern now? So I wonder how is she going to reinvent herself? Are we going to see like a costume or something like a, so I don't know. It's exciting. I'm excited to see what she's going to wear and how she's going to go through this reinvention process of, you know, Elastigirl, right?
Yeah.
Is it Elastigirl or Elastawoman?
Elastawoman.
Elastawoman. My bad. They were like, oh, is she going to start dressing modern now? So I wonder how is she going to reinvent herself? Are we going to see like a costume or something like a, so I don't know. It's exciting. I'm excited to see what she's going to wear and how she's going to go through this reinvention process of, you know, Elastigirl, right?
Yeah.
Is it Elastigirl or Elastawoman?
Elastawoman.
Elastawoman. My bad.
Speaking of costumes, loved seeing the vintage Doom Patrol outfit. What did you think of their outfits?
Weren't they yellow and red?
They were, yeah.
Yellow and red. Yeah, they were very, very uniform.
I loved them. I loved it.
Not my favorite color combination. A little bit McDonald's. God,
I loved it so much. It made me think of like vintage, like Watchmen, like...
That's what I thought about this episode too. Yeah. Not only like X-Men, but I literally just thought of the Watchmen because of that comparisons of past and present heroes.
I love it. They had so many great like references in this one too, like the Shining reference, when we see like all the puzzle pieces that are going, right, like looking almost like the blood wave from the Shining, and then them flat out saying it's like the Shining.
And then Needleman, yes. Freddy Krueger, basically, with Larry.
So good. So good. Now, Jane, who had this puzzle piece vision that we see also her dad, you know, terrifying voice, yeah, like yelling at Kay, this intense, intense moment. She was off with Josh Clay. They kind of all separated once they got to the school.
Which was not a good idea, but yeah, it happened.
It very Scooby-Doo-esque, where I was like, what? Why are you guys splitting up? Like, what? Come on now.
I was hoping for a chase scene, like a Scooby-Doo chase scene.
Zoinks!
Didn't happen. Missed opportunity. But I digress.
But the interesting thing, really, is that Josh first welcomes her and thinks that Niles has sent her and is like, you have a room here. What did you think about that reveal? Like, you know, when she's first asking, was I supposed to be a student or a teacher, to her then finding out, oh, this isn't a school. This is basically a place for superheroes to retire in peace and be put in a world, a pseudo real reality. I mean, that was pretty hard hitting. What did you think
about
in that moment when they kind of revealed to her, when she's like, so what was my room supposed to be?
Yeah, I will say, Elena, it was quite puzzling. No, but seriously, when I
the
think,
puzzle pun, I'm sorry, I'm just very, very excited about it. That
I
was jigsaw so good.
Not that coming. Wait, did I say that right?
What?
I jigsaw that coming, whatever. Horrible. No, but. I'm sorry I'm failing with puns.
No, the puzzle one was
what
gold.
Was I gonna say? I think looking back at that, kind of seeing how that all came together, I think possibly Jane, Crazy Jane, was next in line to going to the school if she were not to be able to be of use, or if Niles wasn't able to help her. So I wonder if like she would have been like, because she has a room, maybe being sent there possibly, if he wasn't able to help her. That's what I think. And then obviously the illusions that Mento is able to create, that would have kind of like
subdued.
Exactly.
Her.
That's kind of like my theory on it.
I think you're dead on. I think that's exactly what they were trying to portray, because he was saying, you know, this is a safe place for these folks to rest. This was never a school. Yeah. And Jane is like, so you're their babysitter? And he's like, you know, no, I'm a physician. It's also interesting too, and we'll talk about this a little bit later on too, about how he mentions that he is a metahuman. So he's one of the few DC characters that is an actual mutant.
Yeah. Someone in the chat says Clay can generate and radiate powerful blasts from his hands, which are able to melt steel. Tempest can control his blast volume and intensity too.
Yeah. Tempest kicking up a storm.
Of puzzle pieces? No.
No, that was more Mento. A little bit. But Yeah, it's this whole thing about how they've been tortured by their past, and Mr. Nobody used this butt balloon. Like, I mean, it's the comedy of, like, it's, oh, it's a butt balloon, and, like, oh, it's got a jukebox that it's, like, farting out that's playing this song. Mm-hmm. But then that horrific scene of the policemen being ripped apart as piñatas and being eaten by people.
Exactly. Thank God they were turned into piñatas, because I don't know if I could have taken...
gruesome, though.
And that was candy, and yet we were so, like, uncomfortable watching that.
It was gross, man. Like, that was, again, how they're able to shoot things that are, like, not violent mm-hmm. and gruesome in the traditional sense, but mm-hmm. except for when it's Nazis, which is forgivable.
Yeah.
But have it still be this super resonating scene that you're like, oh my God, that was so intense.
And yet there's a huge ass floating above them all.
Yeah. They had a really good comic relief, though, because they had the return of Animal Vegetable Mineral Man, Steve Larsen. Yes. That one made me the stupid criminal of the week because who called it? I freaking called it when I was like, that raptor's gonna bite his head off.
That's a really good special segment. Like, why don't we have a special segment like that?
Like, I almost feel like maybe we should add it. Like, which one of them is the stupid criminal spotlight? I feel like I'm gonna add it. Do it right now. Why not?
We'll definitely have to. We'll talk. We'll talk for sure.
Yeah, I'm into it. I mean, there's so many great comedic moments. Normally, Alan Tudyk is who. I mean, his delivery is what makes everything mm-hmm. hilarious. And even though he wasn't in this episode, which is kind of my only complaint, at least they talked about him a lot. It was very centered. But yeah, this whole thing with her and Josh and kind of talking about this school and then finding out the actual reality of this. And very dark.
They didn't end up defeating Mr. Nobody that day. He defeated them.
Yeah.
And Ivan said that they finally showed one of Mr. Nobody's most famous powers of taking people's sanity. And we clearly saw that with the OG Doom Patrol and their current state.
People ripping up the policeman. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, that sucks, too, to have that be how you go out, is with a butt balloon.
Like, how, like, do you explain that?
Oh, that's what KO'd me? Like, they made an ass out of you. Literally, like, oh, rough. They should have wiped that ass right out of the sky.
Oh, my gosh. They could have popped it. Maybe they really should have just focused on the ass, but they didn't.
That's always the biggest.
They assumed that Mr. Nobody was the core. Well, I mean, he's obviously the core villain, but come on. Whatever.
Well, we also get to meet some of the other Doom Patrollers. Mm-hmm. Arani ends up taking Larry around, and we see her augmented reality, which is that she's married to Niles.
Right.
And they keep talking about Niles and Niles' secrets. And, like, I didn't even know until a year after we were married that he had a daughter. And Larry's like, what are you talking? Like, what is this? What is this weird situation? What did you think about that? I mean, were you surprised that they were not really married? Like, did you think that was a real thing when it was first introduced?
Yeah, I wonder. I feel like that just kind of, like, creates another backstory for, like, possibly Niles and Arani. Like, I wonder what their past. It just makes me really interested, first and foremost, about their past. So I'm like, obviously, that maybe she had feelings for him. Maybe he had feelings for her back in the day. Obviously, that kind of their sanity is, or her sanity isn't up to par. But I did love her power. I felt so bad for her in her elderly state. But her
pretty hot power.
It was icy hot. Very My Hero Academia Todoroki. I don't know if you watched, but fire and ice. Totally awesome.
I like it. It's if you're ever injured, like playing basketball, you're like, hey, call Arani. Like, oh, call Celsius.
My neck,
I need help.
My neck, my shins. You know.
Also, what a dope name. Like, Celsius. Like, dope. What a dope so name. Good. So good. And then, of course, we have the third Doom Patroller, Loderstone, who we really only see with all the knives. Like, we don't see too much.
So, telekinesis was her power?
I think so. Okay. It was like, but
she was very
specifically with, like, sharp things.
Okay.
It seemed.
Still extremely useful.
Yeah.
But I was a little bummed we
didn't. Very cutting-edge power.
All right. I was a little bummed we didn't get to see her.
And you they know? Were all bummed by Mr. Nobody with the big... I'm sorry.
How are you this good? This is your superpower. It's superpower That's, puns.
I so, wish it was better. I'm
you're
sorry.
You're so sharp.
Elena. Yeah.
You're good. You're too good for me.
So this was just very interesting to basically see this whole scenario of, you know, the question was, why would you even go do what Mr. Nobody has asked you to do, Jane? Like, why do you, like, why are you doing what he specifically said? He's a bad guy. And it seems to be just to make her feel disoriented and kind of question Niles's plan for her. Mm-hmm. So we see all of that sweet scenes with Baby Doll and mm-hmm. everything, with her just then juxtaposed with this horrible realization that she could be left and yeah. kind of forgotten, like what the broken things.
Exactly.
Niles's old broken toys that are left behind.
Why can't he get them like a nice house? Like, the house is disgusting. Like, come on.
Well, because they have that, they're able to change the reality of it. So who cares? If I could flip a switch and make everybody think my house was clean and nice, I would definitely let it fall to disarray and be like, just flip that switch.
What about the health inspectors? Okay, I'm, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, the TV show.
You can manipulate the reality of the health inspectors too. It just glitches a little bit and they're like, whoa, what was that? And you're like, what? What was what? Look at our lovely home.
Right.
Farewell. How many health inspectors just show up at your house? Come on now.
I don't know.
But speaking of who's at the house, the ones who are left behind are the two Robo Boys.
Right.
Vic and Cliff. I really, really liked this dynamic of the two of them. What did you think of their interaction? Did you think that we got enough of it
episode? I think it was enough in the fact that obviously Vic's dad came and had to, you know, ended up talking to Cliff. And I think it worked because obviously how the episode ended, but it worked because not only did Vic get fixed and looks super cool, it's very classic Cyborg, like OG Cyborg in the comics. So that was cool to see kind of also translated like to current present day.
With like Jane pushing the button yeah. and being like, Suri, what is a Doom Patrol?
But also they helped each other out in this episode. Cliff's exchange with Vic's dad really like, oh, you don't know anything about loss. In terms of losing, he lost his wife, but losing your actual offspring. That happened to Cliff.
Yeah.
I mean, Claire is still alive out there from what we know. But,
her face hole. her face that hole. Vic ends up hacking yeah. for Cliff.
But, Vic's dad still, you know, has Vic in his life.
Yeah.
And the relationship has changed. Whereas Cliff doesn't have a relationship at all with Clara. She doesn't even know that he is, in fact, her father. She thinks someone else is her father.
Bump. Get out of here, Bump. I'd forgotten about Bump. Bump from episode one.
I know. I had a like, oh, that character exists. Oh, yeah.
Hit a little bit of a speed bump there, right, Cliff?
He needs to slow down. It's not going to be that easy, right? It's not going to be that easy now. Get into Clara.
I did like seeing kind of a more apathetic side to Silas, though, and seeing this episode, you know, he really does have his son's best interest in heart. And it was also interesting to see him talking to Vic about how the Justice League of America, the JLA, doesn't consider Mr. Nobody to be a real threat. Like, that almost shows, like, the hubris that they have, that this villain, who really is basically on par with, like, the Joker, even, I mean, he's doing pretty horrific things, that they dismiss him. So I thought that was a really interesting point that they brought up as well, while also kind of explaining why they don't help out more.
That was a huge FU, freaking Justice League. Like, wow, disrespect. I can't. You know, but that was just kind of like reminiscent of kind of maybe like speaking in grander terms of like maybe like a corrupt, not saying Justice League is corrupt, but like the government being like asshole sometimes, you know,
like how
not
the fighting the bigger guys don't necessarily pay attention to
exactly small owned businesses, you know, you know, stuff like that. So
I love, there's so many great parallels through all of this that I absolutely love. And it was also interesting to me, too, to, one, see this whole storyline of Vic being like, look, I'm going to be shut down and rebooted. And during that time, my dad is going to have access to everything. Like, you find out what's happening.
Yeah.
And even though Silas does take the privacy controls off and kind of give him more freedom, he has this whole conversation with Cliff where he's really torn and he's upset that his child was put in this really perilous situation with his arm cannon exploding and looking like Elmer Fudd's gun after Bugs Bunny puts the cork in. I mean, that's an intense description. So, I mean, it was nice to see how much he really cares about his child, but interesting to then see Vic take the hard drive. What did you think about that? I mean, we'll get into, I guess, more in predictions about what we think is on the hard drive. But what did you think about him taking the hard drive from his dad?
It's rough because I feel like Silas kind of made like a breakthrough in this episode. So I don't really know what to think. I think Vic, you know, kind of might be rebelling, but I think Vic also just wants answers, you know, after everything that's happened. We still don't know if Vic's... if the accident with his mom, if that was entirely Vic's fault. We don't know 100%. There have been no confirms, so
I think memories have been altered or anything.
The power that Silas has, so we're going to find out, hopefully. I don't know. I'm going to think for predictions, what's on that hard drive.
Now, I also thought, talking about Cliff, too, and his relationship with Clara... this whole situation with Bump being revealed as who Clara considers her dad. I mean, do you think that that is going to be something that's going to continue to to impact him and his quest to be a hero? Because he seems to have been kind of sidetracked with how everything is happening with Jane. And with Jane kind of giving him the cold shoulder.
Exactly. Well, now that I think Jane is kind of... his like relationship with Jane is definitely. I remember when she tossed the sandwiches, or I forget which personality that was, but those sandwiches looked really good, and I was really disappointed.
Jane did when he was like, "I cut them just like baby doll like," and then she's like, "No, don't want them." I was like, "There's so many sandwiches."
Someone in the chat also brought up off topic that Jane was mostly Jane in this episode. So
yeah, I just
so like, that was pretty cool, and I agree with that statement. But
we didn't get any new personalities, which was kind of a bummer. So but
I think because they're kind of on like a rocky, they left on a rocky note, Jane and Cliff.
A rocky cliff.
Yeah. Wait, did you?
Sorry,
ridiculous. No, I love it. I love it all the time. I think because of that, Cliff, he's definitely going to want to. Can pursue Claire even more now because Jane's not here. Jane and her personalities are like, you know, shutting the door on me, and I'm kind of like losing. I got some trust with Vic, but you know, I now I'm focused, and my purpose is to. I now have a purpose, and I hopefully rekindle that relationship with Clara, and that's gonna be tough because Clara don't think this robot man is her father.
Yeah.
Bump is her dad.
Which her also, God, what a name. One thing that I did think was kind of an interesting through line as well throughout this episode is that our perception of Niles is kind of changing too. Yeah. We've kind of hailed him as this, you know, supreme great guy, and we've seen through these tapes him interacting and him really trying to help everybody, but we know that he may have had the idea of sending Jane away to basically be retired as what she calls a broken toy. We also find out that he rejected all of Silas's input when it came to Cliff, and Cliff could have actually been built more high tech than Cyborg. So what did you think Cliff was thinking then when he finds out that, oh, if his tech... if Niles had basically been less stubborn, he could have been
more human and stuff like that. I mean, he's kind of like a PC where a cyborg is like a Mac.
I like that.
But yeah, I think looking back at that, clearly Niles and Silas just don't... there's got to be something there that caused... There's tension between those two. And I definitely... I don't want to automatically...
A causer for Calder.
I don't want to automatically, like, single out Niles. Like, I feel like that's a little bit too hasty to be like, oh, you're a jerk for doing this and sending these quote-unquote broken toys to this asylum to just kind of, like, live there, quote-unquote live the rest of their life. I think possibly Niles just doesn't know what to do, you know? I don't want to... I just don't know what the full story is exactly, but he really just doesn't know what to do because Mr. Nobody's power of taking people's sanity, you know? So I think he's really kind of like up against a wall in his wheelchair. Like, he doesn't know what to do.
Niles and denials.
And he's in denial because he's not taking any help from anyone. And maybe it's just because he doesn't want them to get involved. He doesn't want them to end up with no sanity. So there's a piece of the puzzle that we're missing. So
I don't know. I'm also wondering where he is and what he's going through right now. Mm. I mean, we saw Mr. Nobody doing all those weird experiments earlier.
Okay, the chat, War Hero 99 and Ivan, you did bring up the fact that Niles was dark in Titan, so.
True. I mean, this is a much lighter personification of Niles than we've seen.
Yeah, but. And I suppose he's just a gray character, for sure. He's not black and white.
Yeah. Timothy Dalton's portrayal is just so amazing, too. It's just absolutely fantastic. So, any last thoughts on this episode before we move into our special segment?
I just want to see the next episode, because it's just continuously getting better. I think this might have been one of my favorite episodes, if not my favorite episode so far.
I'll give you that. Good. I think this might be my favorite episode so far. I really liked the comedy blended with the true horror aspect of it.
And it wasn't like, I love the crazy acid trip episodes that we get in the past, but this was just such a good, well-rounded episode that I just
very
loved.
Linear storyline. Yeah. And while very easy, structured ABC.
Gave you that emotional response. Like, ooh, it made me laugh. It made me almost cry. But yeah,
it made me go, "Oh, geez!"
Like, hiya.
Yeah. Everybody who's listening on iTunes, you're welcome.
Sorry, we don't mean to creep you out here at AfterBuzz.
Maybe we do. So it depends. It depends on who we're feeling like we are. Which brings me to our special segment. Hey, who are you? Who do you think you are this episode?
Ugh, God, there's so many. I think I really resonated with Jane, because we've all been there in our past where we have like these authoritative figures in our lives, or maybe they're just our parents who are constantly maybe hiding stuff from us just for like the for our own good. But it's frustrating because you want to know those answers. Also Vic too kind of went through this. And I know our parents or our authoritative figures might mean well, but at the same time, it's frustrating as a person just kind of being hidden and not kind of being shunned in a sense, not having the full story of various things in your past, you know? It sucks.
Yeah.
So I've definitely identified with those characters in this episode.
It's a really good point.
What about you?
I would probably say Arani Celsius, just because I tend to run very hot and cold.
Oh, I love it. Very Katy Perry.
Yeah, you know, like I can see getting like pissed off and being like, look what you did, and you know, freaking out.
You
know. Which I don't want to admit, but I'm admitting it anyway.
You get the best of both worlds, okay? So
the best of both.
It was like... Off topic, Miley Cyrus's like 13-year anniversary of portraying Hannah Montana.
Oh, we're all very old. Now I feel more like Arani because I'm old as dirt.
Sorry.
I like to think more like classic Arani, like Arani in her mentality, though, where, you know.
She's cool.
She's like an actual teacher.
I'm hoping.
And nice and helpful.
Yeah.
But I can also see myself, you know, kind of thinking relationships are one thing and then being like, oh, I was very wrong. It was something else entirely.
Oh, we've been there.
So
we've been there.
I was like, shout out, girl. I feel ya.
I feel ya.
Now, we've seen kind of the progression of these characters so far. But again, talking about how we're only about a third of the way in. Well, actually, before we get to some predictions here, let's talk about a little bit of news and gossip.
Yes. This is something I learned something this week, or today, actually, mind you, that DC streaming service, obviously you guys have seen the episodes, but if you want to get your friends on board with the DC app, you need to, because the first episodes in the app are free. So Titans, DC, or Titans, Doom Patrol, the first episode's free. You just log in and you get the first episode. It's a good teaser because this is such a great app. You get also comics and other awesome streaming service streaming shows that are coming, such as Harley Quinn, Swamp Thing,
yes,
right?
Can't wait.
Just tell your friends that they can watch the first episode for free, and hopefully they'll subscribe so they can watch the rest of the freaking episodes and join in on the after show. So,
yeah. And read all the comics.
Right.
So, yeah.
Such
all
a good,
the vintage comics, which...
Oh, so good. I need to freaking get on it. Sheesh.
Which actually gets into the next little piece of gossip here. A lot of people probably saw some parallels this episode with the X-Men.
Right.
The X-Men universe. Creator Arnold Drake actually confronted Stan Lee and back in the day and accused him of ripping off Doom Patrol to create the X-Men. So it was interesting this episode to see the direct, like, even having Josh Clay being like, I'm a mutant, like, mm-hmm. one of the few, like, actual mutants in DC at this fictional school with the leader in a wheelchair, like, this whole...
Because Doom Patrol came first.
Yeah.
And no one knows that. And X-Men, they're the household name, honestly.
Yeah. So it's like, it was kind of interesting to see this episode particularly... kind of, I think, allude to that, but without giving that whole story. Very, very interesting.
Yeah.
There's a lot of very interesting comic book history things that I suggest you guys look into, but the Arnold Drake Stan Lee confrontation is one that is pretty interesting to read about. So
We saw the comparisons.
Yeah. So let's dive into a little bit of predictions.
Ooh.
Ooh.
And now.
Here we go. Okay.
So, what do you predict?
Well, Ivan brought up in the chat that we didn't really talk about Larry in this episode, Negative Man, but we did see him kind of like the entity kind of come out and do some good in this episode. So that was cool. And speaking of him, like, I feel like he's kind of been under the radar in past episodes or recent episodes. So I'm hoping we get like more of an expansion with him. Cause didn't he know Clay or something like that? Like there was a scene in this episode where he's like, don't I know you from somewhere? So I'm going to keep my eye on that. I don't know exactly what I should predict with that. I think Rita's going to get a new outfit. I think she's going to suit up or something because she's becoming a hero. So I'm excited about that. And hopefully we get to meet more personalities from Jane.
I'm hoping as well. I think we definitely are going to get more from Larry, especially this episode, seeing the spirit kind of.
Yeah.
He working with the spirit and having that line, you know, like, oh, you know, like they're both kind of tortured.
Mm-hmm.
And this episode, especially with the helmet bringing out the kind of torture moments.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what the kind of man in black represents.
Oof.
And what that was alluding to. Yeah. I'm hoping we'll get some more of that. I think we'll get Vic making some discoveries on that little flash drive that he stole that may make him change his views towards Silas, potentially. And I think also potentially have Jane have her views changed on Chief now.
Yeah. And not see him as like this good guy that she's thought of this whole entire time since meeting him.
Less of a father figure, which is... Ugh, I don't know. The show is so good. I love it so much. And I want to hear all of your predictions as well. So be sure to leave us all of your predictions and just your thoughts in general in the chat and in the comments.
Yeah.
Rate, give us those 5 stars, especially comment on iTunes as well, because helps bump us up in the search.
You guys are awesome. We loved you in the chat today. It was so nice seeing you guys and helping me with the facts and everything, because I'm not as smart as you guys, you know.
But we do love talking to everybody in between shows as well. So where can everybody keep up with you?
What's up, everyone? You can follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer.
And you can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan, because I'm Elena Jordan. And you can find me on Instagram at Elena J. Jordan. And you can also find us back here next week talking about episode 7 of Doom Patrol, Therapy Patrol.
Oof. Oh, it's going to get deep.
It's going to be deep. We're here for it. So hopefully you'll be there for it, too. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.